Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Healthcare Insights Podcast. I'm Dahlia Croft, your host for this session, and today we're venturing into an insightful topic that plays a significant role in the care of residents in skilled nursing facilities. We're going to be talking about the discharge function score. Joining me is a seasoned expert in the field, Greg Seipel, Vice President of Clinical Informatics at SHP IntelliLogics. Welcome, Greg.
Hi, Dahlia. Thanks so much. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited. I've been hearing a lot about this as I'm working with customers. The discharge function score is always something that comes up. And I just think if we jump right in and we really help them understand, there's many people out there that are not familiar. So I'm hoping in this first portion, you can kind of explain what is the discharge function score.
So essentially, in a nutshell, it's a measure, a reliable measure of a resident's capability to perform independently, daily functions, activities of daily living, once they leave a skilled nursing facility or complete an inpatient stay. It's not just a number. It combines various assessment elements and items. They're looking at things like physical capability, mentality and cognition, daily level skills, in activities of daily living. And it assigns a score and a value to that. And then understanding that score gives you the ability to impact care planning decisions, discharge planning, making sure that when a resident leaves a skilled nursing facility, they've got the necessary resources available to them so they can be successful on discharge and thrive. Along with the physical, mental, and daily skills, there's also covariates that get used in the score as well, because it's not simply just an aggregate total of MDS items. That's where I think a lot of the misunderstanding lies. It's a somewhat complicated methodology to arrive at a score, and it uses coefficients and it imputes values if you have missing data. So, I mean, all of that together makes it a little bit more difficult to understand. It's not simply looking at a comparison between an admission MDS and a discharge MDS and simply looking at those MDS items from section GG. It's just a little bit deeper than that.
Thank you. That was great. This is definitely the part that I get the most questions on, and where I think there's the most confusion is the calculation, as you're talking about. And even we've had, some silly references, and it's almost like you need an actuary to help you with the calculation. But I'm hoping that you can walk us through, how is that score calculated?
Well, it basically starts with the MDS, right? You have to collect data through the MDS upon admission, and you're looking at detailed information about what their abilities are when they first arrive to the facility. What's their mobility, their self-care, cognitive functioning, a bunch of different things. And you collect the MDS data, and that's basically the foundation you're going to build upon from that. Now, one of the things that happens in any MDS set is there's a potential for missing data. Ideally, all the questions that are required are answered, but sometimes you can't answer a question based on the resident's clinical condition. Something has to be skipped, or a value doesn't get placed in there in the standard format to be useful for the scoring. So you wind up getting these missing data points that then have to be imputed. You get into a technique that CMS uses in the methodology to estimate missing values using statistical models. So what it's trying to do is keep the discharge function score comprehensive and reliable, even when some of the direct observations are not available. So it uses that process to assign a value to those missing elements of data. Then at that point, you have coefficients. And I think it's another one of those areas that is confusing, because it's not simply looking at the assigned value for each of those items. There is a coefficient or a numeric number that weights the scores for each of those. So coefficients basically assign each of those assessment factors a weight. And the weight, it's there to try to indicate the importance of the overall score. Like a higher coefficient for mobility suggests that aspect is more important in determining resident's discharge readiness. And accurate coefficients make sure that the discharge function score truly does reflect the patient's abilities. So now you've collected the MDS data, you've handled the missing data by imputing values for that, and now you've applied coefficients. So once you've applied those coefficients, you have to sum it all up. So you have to take all of the scores add them all together, the weighted scores, and that is going to give you your total discharge function score. Now, the last element of that is risk adjustment. So risk adjustment, when they risk adjust the score, it's a way to normalize the discharge function score across different patient populations, right? There's other variations in the initial healthcare status when someone's first admitted to the building. And some of those variations in capability or disease conditions, you know, they'll adjust that to ensure a fair comparison. You're highlighting the true quality of care rather than staking everything on the initial patient conditions. The success during the course of their stay is dependent upon more than just what their functionality was when they first came in. So all of that together, you know, gets you down to a final discharge function score. And that's the number that is utilized to kind of gauge your readiness and potential success to live independently, or what other resources you may need to provide you the best opportunity for the best possible outcome.
Wow. I'm even looking at some additional notes from the reports and so on that I'm used to looking at. And it's amazing that without different resources and tools, it can be hard to understand how does a facility know how they're going to be able to track this, or how do they know what that discharge function score is expected to be from CMS and so on. So there's so much that goes into this. I appreciate that. What do you think that facilities should be considering when they're using the score, and why is it so important for them to really understand it and have resources?
Yeah, it's basically helping you map out the care path for the patient while they're in the building. One thing to remember, a discharge function score is a QRP measure, so a quality reporting program measure, and that's based on completed Medicare stays. So this discharge function score applies to the Medicare population, traditional Medicare population. And it's you need PPS assessments to basically calculate off of that. When a resident is first admitted, based on the completion of the admission NDS, what their functionality, what the items that contribute to the discharge function score, those NDS items that have coefficients and everything attached to them, what they are upon admission. You can sort of estimate an expected discharge score from that, but to really calculate a discharge function score, you need to know where they are at the end. So the estimates you sort of have to take with a grain of salt, but again, applying, imputation gets applied to it, the coefficients get applied to it, and you can give a ballpark of what the expected value should be when this person, or what they're hoping to achieve when this person actually discharges it or completes their stay. If you evaluate the resident through the course of the stay while they're receiving therapy, you can determine whether or not they're achieving those goals, they're achieving that outcome. Are we making it to or what we are hoping to achieve, that they can have this best possible outcome upon discharge. So you can evaluate interventions, whether or not they're being effective. Do you have to modify the treatment plan, additional rehabilitation therapy, anything from that standpoint that will allow you to ensure that the resident does their very best to achieve their highest practicable level of physical, mental, and psychosocial well-being, as regulations always tell us. And you get to monitor the progress of the resident during their stay. It's not something that you can wait until it's discharge day and then go, I wonder if we hit our goal. So you actively want to monitor the residents during the course of their stay. We know the information upon admission. We know their level of care and skill and independence when they first come in. We know based off of calculating the coefficients, looking at imputation data, even the risk adjustment data that looks at the initial healthcare status and other things together that can lead us to an expected score. Are we getting there? Are we moving in the direction that we need to move into for the best possible outcome? So it really becomes managing your traditional Medicare population during the course of the stay and not waiting for the discharge to tell you if you actually achieve the outcome you were hoping for. You want to measure this on at least a weekly basis during UMR, utilization review meetings, routine reviews of the skilled population to ensure that you're achieving the outcomes that you're hoping for.
And that's where getting into this next portion, I think I'm so excited to share this, and maybe even with our listeners that are anxious on, well, what kind of practical application can you suggest? And with SHP IntelliLogics, how can we really help and support them? You know, where do our facilities get assistance in managing and improving their discharge function score?
Sure. Any MDS-based system, and this is true for all quality measures, QRP measures, you know, it's dependent upon the MDS coding. So accuracy of your MDS coding is paramount. If they're always garbage in, garbage out systems, if you have inaccurate or poor coding on the MDS, then your outcomes truly won't reflect the care and services that were provided or what you've done for your patient population. So you definitely want to ensure that the MDS is accurate. And there's, you know, we scrub against multiple logical tests, current and prior MDS data to look for inconsistencies, logic inconsistencies, and we specifically scrub for quality alerts. Proactively calculating discharge function scores, especially on a discharge assessment, letting you know if this is something that's going to trigger, whether they achieved it or not. Are there any errors or discrepancies that need to be reevaluated, or is there additional information in the chart that was overlooked that may impact the coding and may impact the outcome? Then, of course, in and of themselves, the QRP quality measure reports provide comprehensive data and comparison. So you get to look at what your performance is relative to the discharge function score, as well as state and national averages. Again, one thing to remember is it's truly just the Medicare population. So there are short stay patients that are not going to be included in that. So it's somewhat of a skewed measure, and CMS recognizes that. And it looks like they're in the future, this may open up a little bit wider to all short stay populations, but they have not, you know, finally made that determination yet, but they're still looking at it. And then the other thing is, as we mentioned, is you look at your patient population every day while they're in the building. You're looking for changes in status, things that are either an improvement or a decline, any adjustments necessary for the care plan in the terms of therapy or nursing intervention. And we have our QRP active resident functional review report, which basically looks at anybody who's been admitted under traditional Medicare, what their admission score is, what the expected score is, and gives you the opportunity to review that person consistently and routinely while they're in the building and evaluate, are you moving in the direction that you are hoping to achieve those outcomes? So there's a lot of tools at your fingertips to be able to do this, and it takes an interdisciplinary approach. It cannot simply be the RNAC sitting in a room trying to piece this together, or therapy out on their own trying to make heads or tails of where the score should really be and what they're doing, or nursing trying to act independently. Interdisciplinary team is essential in reviewing the status of the patients relative to the discharge function score to determine if there is any changes or adjustments to the plan of care that need to be made, try to achieve the maximum outcome.
Well, thank you. I think in working with our customers, and as our senior account managers are working with our customers, we're even seeing kind of a four-step assistance where our scrubber report really is helping with that realistic baseline in that GG coding as they're scrubbing their admission, as like you said, the coding accuracy. And then during their stay, like you were referencing that QRP active resident function review report, you know, that discharge planning, yeah, as they're actively working through, you know, week over week, making sure that they understand and they're meeting that expected score. And then prior to discharge, they're scrubbing that discharge. They're ensuring the accuracy of that actual discharge MDS. And then I think one of my favorite reports, after it's all finished and once they've submitted that discharge MDS, then we have that discharge functional outcome report where they can even review what happened and why they are at the percentage with their total discharges. So anything you wanted to add on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's understanding this. It's a complex methodology. It's a complex calculation. I think many people, when it first came out, we're just assuming, well, I'll compare ADL function or self-care mobility functions as they were when they were admitted and as they were when they were discharged, and that's going to tell me if they did better or worse. It's like, well, no, it's really not, because again, I'm looking at mobility, self-care, cognitive function on the MDS at admission, and then I have to go through a regression imputation if there's any missing data. Just the complexity in the calculation itself and understanding that you simply can't compare A to B. There's underscored complex calculations involved in this, that regression imputation to fill those gaps in any missing data, and then the coefficients. You know, I think understanding the coefficients is one of the harder things. It's this imputed values have coefficients placed on them as well. And it's, again, it's just based on the relative, let's call it the relative importance of each item. It's sort of nuanced view of a resident's potential progress. And it just weights certain things more heavily than others into the score. Then you have to sum it all up and you have to risk adjust it. So, you know, understanding and having everybody understand all the elements that go into that and how involved the calculation is and how comprehensive it is. And, you know, it will get more refined over time. Again, this is the first iteration of this. It's very detailed. So, you know, making sure you do extensive training, utilize a technology. So the big thing would be make sure you're utilizing the technology that's available to you. And that technology includes things like, you know, MDS scrubbing and the report variables and the active resident reports that make you look, you know, again, at your active population and your discharge planning, right? Part of this along with this goes towards ensuring that if you're sending somebody home, do they need additional services? Is there home health services that may be required again to prop them up for the best successful outcome? Is there additional durable medical equipment or something that needs to go home with them? So you use it all the way from the beginning to the end of the stay to determine, you know, your success or the resident's success, I should say, with meeting that expected score, the discharge function score, hopefully the improvement and a successful discharge home.
Thank you so much, Greg. That was just all the detail you went into. I think it's really going to help our listeners. I think my biggest takeaway for everyone listening is there are resources out there. As we've been kind of talking a little bit about the resources SHP IntelliLogix provides, there's so many complex calculations, the covariates, everything that Greg was talking about. And in our system, it's already doing it for you. And so we just, you know, make it that much easier to understand and succeed when it comes to looking at the data, using the information, and then being able to understand, you know, how to make this a successful part of your quality reporting program. So thanks. Thank you again, Greg. This was really an awesome opportunity to share about the discharge function score. For anyone that is interested in learning more about SHP and IntelliLogix and how we can really revolutionize your facility's patient care, please make sure that you look at the details in the show notes and you can schedule a free demonstration with our team. And thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. Until next time, we want you to stay informed and inspired. And Greg, thank you again for all you do.
Thank you so much, Ellie.